I would ask you now to pray with me. Heavenly Father, still us now as we seek the presence of Thy Spirit to open our hearts to truth. Let those scales slip from our eyes as we behold the wonders of Thy way. Almighty God, in the voice that I might speak, and in the thoughts that I might cast over these folk, let the Spirit work. And let that still, small voice of Christ speak unto His people. For I ask that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, the years do bring change. It was about 4 years ago that Jack and I relocated to Corunna near Sarnia. We had 2 married daughters there, and it had come time to be near our family. And in those years, up to 2 Sundays a month, which is my limit, I will go and I will help with the Presbyterian Church. Minister might be ill, he could be in holiday, could be in study leave, but I'll be there. And as I got to know these people again and visit amongst them, I grow so concerned. Because there is in them not just about the church, but there's a restlessness. There's an unease amongst our people. There is not that quietness of heart. There doesn't seem to be that peace of Christ that the world can't take away, but appears to have taken away. The words are clear. You and I were the part of the second generation to live in a pressure cooker of information. No one else has gone through what we're going through. No one else has opened their souls to the world as it is around. I find it disquieting. Here it is before the gun has gone silent and the dead fallen. It's on our television, Las Vegas. We see it all there in our homes. I find it disquieting. Turn the television on and there's California burning up. An unknown number dead. Thousands of homes destroyed. People fleeing. I find it very disquieting. And then they come. These winds out of the coast of Africa. And we watch as they sweep across the Atlantic. Then they do their damage on Houston. A meter of rain, a meter, fell in our living room. As we saw it all. It came again, sweeping across Florida. It came again, sweeping across Puerto Rico. It blew an island away that I didn't know existed, Barbuda, until it was gone. But it blew it away. I find it disquieting. I look at the paper. The Star yesterday, I don't know still why anybody reads The Star, but it was in The Star yesterday. This crazy man from North Korea seemingly want to destroy us. And all that for which we stand, and I find it disquieting. And there in Washington, the jury is still up. But a very man, very uneasy. I find it disquieting. I read of the whales dying in our oceans. If you remember anything about me, you may remember I love to garden. I watched this summer them come. These monarch butterflies, all in their orange glory, on their way to Mexico, but probably flying into oblivion. I work in my garden, and I behold the flowers, the lily of the field. You used to also see bees. I saw two. Two honeybees all summer. I find it very disquieting. The forest fires of BC, the renegotiation of NAFTA, which is going to affect economies and hurt a lot of people, I find it disquieting. So here it all is. This pressure cooker of information coming upon us. Where is the peace that passes understanding in this kind of a world? But it doesn't stop there. It goes on, it comes closer. We have new gadgets. I have one. I only have it because my daughters make me carry it. Only my wife knows I never turn it on. This one I've had since January. You see, I refuse to listen to what is going on of gossip in other people's lives. I find it disquieting. And you see, here is all of this before it comes to us and our families. And here we are, we're struggling with old age. We struggle with illness. We struggle with economic issues. We worry about our children and our grandchildren. And all of this eats away at the peace which passes all understanding. No. I want you to come with me back to the Bible. And I want you to find it again in the only way that you can find it. Psalm 55 was written, 3,500 years ago, a psalm of David. It was written for us. Listen, O God, to my pleading. Hear me and answer me. For my cares give me no peace. My heart is torn in anguish. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. There it is. There I stand. The modern, frightened soul, troubled, fussing, worrying, in this kind of a world. The writer goes to his wit's end and he cries out, I've seen trouble and strife in the city. It's filled with mischief and trouble, alive with rumor and scandal. There's our world. There's your world. The typical problems, scandal in high places, fear, fear to walk the streets, the feeling that everything is getting worse, everything is downhill. But then this magnificent verse. The psalmist says, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove to fly away. I shall escape far away, find a refuge in the wilderness." That's the first way we try for the peace. We try to get away from everything. I don't know whether you ever did it, but I did when I was about 4. Life hit a bump. I took a notion it was time to run away. So I ran away. I got probably to the next door and I thought, I've taught them enough of a lesson, now I'll go back home. You can't run. We don't have the wings of a dove. We can't fly and run away. There are things we can do. We can have a little bit of a rest. We might find that holiday week to get away somewhere and have some time. I've never felt guilty about that. I've never felt guilty about trying to find a little bit of time. You shouldn't either. It can be therapeutic to get away. David wanted to get away. King David tried to get away. Jeremiah the prophet did. You heard the lesson. He couldn't stand his people. He couldn't stand them. What they were doing, the kind of people they were. And Jeremiah cries out, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them." He wanted to run. Get away from them. That impulse, it's normal. In our lives, it is not dishonorable. And never feel guilty. The truth of it is, all of us need some way to get away from it somehow. And the ways differ. It may be a quiet evening with a book. It may be, as my wife and I have found at this stage, our joy is to drive to the river and sit and watch that blue water of the St. Clair flow to the sea. We do it almost every day. We get away from things. You see, this is the purpose of a holiday, to walk away, find something different, to feel something different. You see, Jesus tried to do that. At one time in the experience of Christ, he knew the disciples were tired. And Jesus says, "Come," he says, "let's find a quiet place and rest a while." The problem was, the quiet place they found, 5,000 others had found it before him. So by the time Jesus arrives, here is this mass of people waiting to hear from him, to work his work, to preach to him the words of life. You see, if we don't do these things, we may not find the peace of Christ. But then we try other ways, dangerous ways. We turn to our tranquilizers. We see not just our young people turning to their illicit drugs to escape the world as they know it, because they're not satisfied with it, or they're hurt by it, or they're afraid of it. And very often we know the consequences. "I know that of which I speak. It happened in my family." To try to escape is beneficial as far as it can go. There was a wonderful book once time written by a Dr. Parnell called Escape from Life. And he told a story of, could be any one of our grandchildren, going off to university. A young lady went off and it didn't work out for her. She ended up having a nervous breakdown. She ended up quitting. After a lot of counseling, she got the story right. It went this way. I went to university. I had to quit. So I had a nervous breakdown. That is the truth of it. That is the sequence. So here we are. We can make ourselves sick. Suicide is the ultimate expression of this trying to get away from it all. We can't take anymore. And then we do it. The psalmist, unable to escape, he tries the second approach. He calls on God to take revenge on the enemy. Take revenge on those who hate me. Listen to his words. Destroy their places, O Lord. Confuse their tongues. Let death come upon them. They must go down to hell alive. Let them go in terror to their graves. The sum and substance of his request is, I want them not only to go to hell, I want you to send them there. Get them out of my life. Get these problems, sweep them away. I think there comes a time when we do want God to get people out of our lives. They bother us. Some bring us no peace. It doesn't work. We cannot live in isolation one to another. The Christian faith is a communal faith. We work amongst people. All different kinds of people. We're restless, not because of others. We're restless because of ourselves. Where is that peace which passes all understanding? Ah, now the third way. To find that tranquility or that peace that the world can't give is in these words of the prophet. But I call upon God, and the Lord will deliver my soul in peace. The words of Jesus. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, He will sustain thee. You see, tranquility is found not by running away, not by wishing ill on others. It's found in Christ. It's found by doing what that hymn calls us to do, to trust and obey. Much, dear friends, of what troubles us is controllable. And I think you have an obligation, and I have an obligation, if it bothers me, to control it. You see, the power is right here in this old thumb. It hits a little button. And it shuts it off. Shut it off. Turn some of the world away. You don't need to bear all the burdens about which you can do nothing. Turn it off. If it works against your peace, turn it off. Turn back to trust in the Lord. If you remember nothing of this sermon, I want you to remember this as I close. It was years ago. Jackie and I had our four little kids, and we went to Niagara Falls. We stood watching this great torrent of water come over that cliff. Beautiful. But as we were standing, I saw something. There on the cliffs, as you know, there's scrub brush grows out. And there, but a few feet away, hanging over the gorge, there is a branch. In the branch, there was a nest. In the nest, there were three robins. And I watched as the old one came and went, tending her own, oblivious to the chaos around her. There is the peace of Christ. He is that nest that holds us. But you have to trust and obey. Then you find the peace which passes all understanding. And the world doesn't change. Indeed, it may get worse. Those who bother us don't change. Indeed, they may get worse. But we've got it. We've got it. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. I close with these words. That's what this church is about. That's what you're about. Proclaiming Christ as the answer to the world swirling around us. Christ, Lord and Savior, Father, bathe us in your love, cradle us in your mercy unto life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Father, what a privilege it is for each of us to have been given a gift of life. Thou knowest our circumstances. We're all different. We've all faced different challenges and different burdens. We all have different memories. But we have one thing in common. If we trust and obey, and that is we have the peace of Christ. And we are safe. Lord, I remember the words of Scripture, of Jesus. Those whom the Father has given me are in my hand, and no one can snatch them away. Keep us safe. And might we enjoy the peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding, which the world can't give, nor can it take away. Praying in Jesus' precious name, Amen.
Thank you and blessings, John, for that lovely message this morning. Let us come before God now with our tithes and offerings, and we can thank God for all that He has blessed us with. Overflowing joy, and get this to be used for the sake of others. Amen.